Okay. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to everyone. It's a very good day. If there's a father near you, can you maybe pat them on the back and say Happy Father's Day? Well done, well done. All those nappies you've changed, all the pains of childbirth, I feel for you guys. You know, fathers. Apologies for me being a little bit sick. I'm a little bit bunged up. I feel like I'm on a plane and my ears are just about to pop. But I blame the weather. It's June. It's my favourite month, but the weather hasn't been like June at all. It's been a shame. And June is often my favourite month because, one, it's my birthday. Two, it's Father's Day now, which is nice. Three, the sun is usually out, so it's always usually nice. As a student, June is when nothing happens at school. Well, after your exams, nothing happens at school. As a teacher, definitely nothing happened at school for me because the students weren't around. So it was a great time for me. And we're in the middle of the year already. In fact, in 2 weeks' time, we'll be smack bang in the middle of 2016. And in June, it's also the time where we forget about the New Year's resolutions that we made in January and the ones that we broke in January. But have you ever wondered about resolutions? Why? They're often about health. They're often about, oh, I should eat less of this. I should eat more of this. I should do more of this. I should do less of this. It always seems to be about health. But for some reason, we always seem to fail at the hurdle, which is just after 1 week. Today, we're going to be focusing on another kingdom value. Sorry, apologies for that. is health. We're going to be looking about how the kingdom of heaven, or how God values health. And I'll have 2 points. Usually I have 3, so 2 points today. Before you get too excited and you think I'll be done in 10 minutes, these 2 points are a little bit more elongated than normal. The first point that I'm going to make is this: investing more in health. Investing more in health. Can I just start with just a word of prayer? Good morning, Father. We just thank you for this time. What a privilege it is just to come and gather freely in this place, in this beautiful building, to be able to worship you with our minds, and with our hearts, and with our bodies. So, Lord, can you speak to us as we dive into your word for us today? Lord, can you help overcome my weaknesses, my clumsy words, my ill health, and really speak and pierce through to each and every one of us, into our hearts and into our souls and minds. So, Lord, we just give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, investing more in health. We as believers should always be striving to invest more in health. But for one reason or another, we always fall short. We always fall short of that moment where we really dedicate our bodies to God. So maybe before we get convinced as to how we should get healthy, we kind of need to know why. What's the point of us getting healthy? So the first question I'll pose is, why should we invest more in health? Why? What's the point of this? Because once we know this, maybe it'll help us get further into actually carrying it out. Reason number one why we should is because God, our creator, does. God cares about health. God cares about physical health. How do we know this? In the Old Testament, the Israelites were given lots of laws about eating, about living. Dietary laws in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. There are lots of laws that have been prescribed to them. And in Deuteronomy 6, 24, it says this: and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, rules, laws, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God. God cares about health. He cares about our health. That's number one. Number two is Jesus, when he came to earth, also showed that he cared about health. Even though he came to rescue mankind from sin and to engage in the spiritual battle, he was always known to be healing people physically. The Gospels are full of stories of Jesus healing people. In fact, we have confidence there are many, many more healing stories that aren't even written in the Bible. Now, granted, he might have taken this healing in a slightly different perspective. There's times where he heals someone and he says, your sins are forgiven. Sometimes he heals someone and says, your faith has healed you. So there is another realm that he recognized that maybe we didn't, but at least we can get from that is he cared about health. He healed people. Why else should we care? To borrow a slogan from the L'Oreal advert that I used to watch when I was young. Is it still around? Well, again, the old people are laughing now. Like there's an attractive person waving their hair around and they say, oh, L'Oreal's great, and then it's because we're worth it. Yes. Because we are worth it. How do we know that we're worth it? It's because Jesus came to die for us. We were bought for a price. Paul talks in Corinthians how we don't belong to ourselves. Our bodies are temples of God. Jesus gave up his throne in heaven to take on a physical form, to die for us so that then we could live. To live life to the full, to live life abundantly. We are worth it. In 1 Corinthians 6, when Paul's talking about the body being a temple, he's addressing the church in Corinth and telling them about how sexual sin is a bad thing. It is a bad thing because it violates the body that God has given you, because the body is a temple. He talks about how everything is permissible, everything is allowed, but not everything is beneficial. And us as believers, we need to discern what is good for us on our journeys in glorifying God. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So many people say, this body belongs to me. We own our bodies. We can do whatever we want with our bodies. We can feed it whatever we want. We can be as lazy as we want. Or we can push it to its limits as much as we want. And supposedly that's freedom. I'm free to do whatever I want. But actually, it's the exact opposite. When you submit to all those things, you actually become enslaved to those things. And whilst we think we're free, we're actually not. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit lives inside us. Therefore, we no longer own our own bodies. So let's just have a think. When we look at our bodies and look at our lives, what do we commit to? Or maybe, what are we enslaved to? Is it food? Is it drinking? Is it watching TV? Netflix? What consumes our lives and our bodies? What do we use our bodies for? And then let's take a step back and go, wow, Jesus died for this. Jesus died so I can binge watch Netflix and pizzas. Take a step back. What have we committed our bodies and our lives to? Why else should we invest more in health? Because it's all linked. Luke chapter 10, verse 27 talks about the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What that tells me is all those four parts are linked. How we treat our bodies reflects a little bit on how we treat our spiritual state, our souls. How we treat our minds is linked with the heart. We can't love him with all our hearts, but not our minds. We can't love him with all our souls, but not our bodies. They are all linked together. Scientists have often proven that exercise is good for de-stressing. They are linked. When we're sad or when we're going through some kind of suffering, some of us will go into a time of comfort eating, eating our emotions. Everything is linked together. And sometimes we forget that. We think the physical side is one side, the spiritual side is another. But actually, they are all linked. Before we start thinking about the changes we make, Paul encourages to start from the perspective. From whatever we do, we should do it for the glory of God. Now, before you think this is like a health talk on how we should stop eating badly, it's not. Actually, Paul tells us that we should eat and drink whatever you do for the glory of God. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, enjoy the food that you have. Enjoy the toil. The fruits of your toil, the work that you actually, you put in to get these things, good food, good drink, enjoy them. But whatever you do, do for the glory of God. What I've found over just even my short life is that we all worship something. If you're sat here today and you say, I'm not even sure if I worship God or if I worship anything. But no, we do. We all worship something. And even if we don't know it, all it takes is for us to take a step back and see how what we commit our time to or our minds to, that is what we worship. Sometimes it's sleep, sometimes it's rest, sometimes it's work, sometimes it's food. What are we thinking when we do all the activities of our daily lives? What are we thinking? Are we really glorifying God in all those little activities? So actually, we know why we need to invest in health. We all know that health is good for us. Even McDonald's do. These last few years, they've been introducing salads and different wraps just to make you feel better about eating another piece of fast food. I think the reason why we still don't act in a healthy way with our lives is because we forget. We lose sight of a lot of things in life all the time. We lose sight of the fact that actually health is a gift. It's been said that actually we don't value health until sickness comes. Actually, when you realize that actually your body can't do what you wanted it to do, we forget. We forget about the fragility of our bodies. We forget about eternity. When I say eternity, when I say we forget about eternity, what I actually am thinking about is, because we forget about eternity, we forget about the fact that we're actually going to die. All of us are actually going to die. But what does that mean for us? If we know that we're going to die, then surely that means we need to put in steps to invest more in the health that we have now. This is often the case when we're younger, when your bodies can do what you want them to do. But as we get older, you start realizing there are some things that you can try and do, but then you'll feel the pain the next day. Bert and I, we went to play basketball yesterday, and we usually play basketball on Saturdays with people who are 10 years younger than us, or in Bert's case, 20 years younger. It's true. He's old. It's true. And yesterday we were on a team, and the two students who were there as well, they were like, "Oh, our team's the oldest team here." And he's like, "Oh, we're the oldest and the shortest." I'm like, "Oh, yes, blame Bert. He drags our averages down." Anyway, so what happens is for both of us, after our basketball sessions the next day especially, you feel it. You feel the pain. You feel the back. You feel just every single part of the body. It's all linked. It all hurts. But when you're young, you don't. Especially when you're young, we lose sight of the fact that we're going to die. Sorry, that sounds so horrible, but we're all going to die. So then what do we do about this? It's often said that humans are the ones who are aware of their own mortality. So animals, they live, and they recognize that sometimes they lose their family members, but humans are the ones that know that we're living for that end goal. But somehow we still forget, because somehow we still eat as though we're going to live forever. Somehow we live as though we're still going to we're going to do no activity because our bodies will look after themselves. Somehow we forget that, forgetting about eternity. So we've discussed why now we need to invest in more health. How do we actually do it? How should we invest more in health? As a teacher, as Bert just said, I taught biology for 7 years. And one of the key topics that I taught was a topic called homeostasis. Homeostasis, which is a long word, which in short is about, all the students are like, "Oh, biology lessons, I hate this." It's about balance. Okay, if you remember that, or at least that's how I interpret it. I wasn't a very good teacher. That's why I'm here. Okay, that doesn't make you guys feel good either. Okay, so homeostasis, the body seeks to keep things in balance. For example, when it's too hot, which we're clearly not getting anything out of these days, when it's too hot, our body seeks to maintain balance. So it sweats. Our faces go red to try and get rid of the heat. It gets too cold, we start shivering to create kinetic energy, to create thermal energy. Or when we have too much water, we go to the toilet a lot. But if we don't have enough water, our body tries to protect us from dehydration by keeping the water in so we don't go to the toilet as much. The body likes to keep things in balance. But when it comes to sugars and fats, the body struggles a little bit more with that. If we constantly intake more sugars and fats than we need, than we burn, then the body tries to figure out a way to store it. It can't get rid of it, just like sweat. So what does it do? Well, especially for guys, it stores it around this area here. My wife reminds me every day that this is where all my storage is happening. So my question is, what does your diet look like? Is it balanced? I'm not even just talking about the physical food. That is one question. Is your physical diet or your actual food diet balanced? What about your life? Is it balanced, or do we do too much of one thing? Because our bodies were built for balance, for homeostasis, for our input to equal our output. The great evangelist Billy Graham thought this was important enough to ask the question. Let me ask you a question. If you never ate a balanced diet, what would happen to your body? You know the answer. Eventually, you'd grow weak. You might even open yourself to serious illness or disease. We all need a balanced diet if we are to stay healthy. So do we exercise enough? Do we do enough physical activity? Even the missionary Edward Stanley in the 1800s said, "Those who have no time for bodily exercise will sooner or later have to make time for illness. Again, those who have no time for bodily exercise will sooner or later have to make time for illness. This was a mystery. It's about 200 years ago. Another question is, do we rest enough? In this day and age, we're constantly told to do things. Do we actually rest? Do we actually stop and get out of our lifestyles and our routines to give our body the rest it needs? God chose to give us a Sabbath. He chose to follow the Sabbath. There is value in rest. Tim Keller gives a very good sermon on work and rest and how work, and when you're resting, it's not just not doing anything. It's actually being intentional about our rest. Actually putting an intentional act on the brakes to say, I'm going to stop. It's good for my body to rest. But just as I say, do you rest enough? I recognize there are some people here, maybe the more young demographic, where, oh, that's good. I rest quite a lot. I sleep 12 hours a day, and then I'll have two naps in the middle of the day. To you, I say, do you work enough? Is your lifestyle balanced? Because you're sleeping too much, which is also bad. It's about balance. Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made, intricately designed. Those of you, all the doctors and all the scientists here, which in Chinese circles, that's quite a high demographic, you know the complexity of the human body. It was designed for balance. Health is important. Now, just note here, I'm not talking about illnesses and things that you can't control. We'll talk a little bit about that later. At the moment, I'm simply talking about the things that you can. Okay, there is a whole different topic that we can talk about. We might not have time for today. But for now, it's just about us being responsible for the bodies that God has given us with. And measuring it up to that verse in 1 Corinthians 10, whatever we eat or drink or do, do for the glory of God. What is another important factor in investing more in health? And that is discipline. Discipline is the word. So the next question is, how disciplined are we? Discipline is often seen in a negative light. Getting disciplined by your parents, being disciplined by your teachers, your boss, disciplinary action, it's all bad. But actually, the word discipline is a very, very good thing. The Bible talks about it in terms of self-control. Discipline, laws, and guidelines are good. Recently, we went to Corfu, and we rented a car, which ultimately ended up being the good decision because we survived. But the Corfu, the driving there is... The laws are very liberal, let's say. People can kind of do as they wish. A little bit similar to how I hear about Malaysians driving and the streets there. So we feared for our lives quite a lot in Corfu because people were driving on different sides of the road, depending on how they felt or where they wanted to go. Again, I know in China this happens as well. When I went to China to visit my uncle, he saw lots of traffic on the main road, and then he saw a free lane. So he decided just to go into the free lane and just vroom, straight down. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Then I realized that free lane was actually a pavement. I was like, oh, we weren't supposed to do that. And then a couple of hours later, we were on the motorway in a taxi, and then we went onto the motorway, and suddenly there was like a big traffic jam. Something must have happened in the front. Three lanes on a motorway. The taxi driver thought, oh, there's a traffic jam. What do I do? It's the motorway. We're stuck. Not for him. He decides to do a U-turn from the fast lane and then go back on himself in the slow lane and then just go back where he came against all the traffic. What that tells me is guidelines are good. Laws are good. Discipline is good. When the Bible talks about this discipline, this self-control, it deems it so good that it includes it in the list of the fruits of the Spirit. When Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, all these things, self-control is in that list as well. The fruit of the Spirit, self-control. How disciplined are we? Again, I listened to a sermon recently which talked about these fruits of the Spirit, and the guy was asking, why are they called fruits? Why are they not called characteristics or traits of the Spirit? And one interpretation that he had, which I thought was quite interesting, they're called fruits because actually fruits grow. We grow in all of these things. We can grow in love, grow in peace. We can also grow in self-control. So if you're sitting here thinking, no, yeah, my self-control is terrible. I can't control myself. My discipline is so low. Be encouraged. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And if you've invited the Holy Spirit to live inside you, then that fruit can grow. Your discipline, your self-control can grow. Health is important. It is of value because we're worth it, because we were bought for a price. We should strive for balance and discipline. Whatever we do for the glory of God. That's my first point, investing more in health. The second point is this, investing in more than health. So whilst we need to invest more in health, there is also another side that we need to look after, which is investing in more than health too. Because so far, pursuing health seems to be of earthly value. It's about our lives here, being healthier people. It's about everything that we see in this world. But as I just said, the physical state is linked to the spiritual state. So whilst we invest more in health, there is also another aspect that we can't neglect, investing in more than health. Paul writes to Timothy here, and he talks about it in this way. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Paul tells Timothy, training is good. Physical training is good. But godliness training trumps that earthly training any day. So why is it of value? Why is training for godliness of value? Because it isn't just for this life. The promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It recognizes that there is a physical realm that we live in, but it also recognizes that there is a spiritual realm and ultimately there is a heavenly realm that we belong to. We've come back again to the idea of looking to eternity, setting our sights on eternity, recognizing that whilst we invest in health because we've been entrusted with them, that one day they are going to waste away. Paul uses the metaphor of athletic training, 1 Corinthians 9:27. I discipline my body, training it to do what it should, like an athlete. Disciplining the body is linked with our spiritual state. This time the goal should be godliness. Its effects for good permeate every realm and are experienced both here and in hereafter. Are we developing our spiritual muscles? Because working on those spiritual muscles are far more extensive and far more enduring in their benefits. How spiritually disciplined are we? So not just how disciplined we are in a spiritual sense, but just have a think of this question now, just for a pause. How spiritually disciplined are you? In fact, both of these factors here, the points one and two, the discipline is the same. In order to stay fit in both, we require discipline in both. So I ask again, how disciplined or how spiritually disciplined are we? Or how spiritually disciplined are you? That's a really hard question to answer. It's quite broad, isn't it, in terms of, oh, well, I guess I am, or I guess I'm not. Maybe I'm just somewhere in between, somewhere like this. Christine and I yesterday were having a conversation. We saw some really big bodybuilders, and we were like, actually, you know what? These guys, to get to the state they are, require a lot of discipline. They require a lot of discipline to commit to the gym. We all know how dragging ourselves to the gym is hard, having a healthy diet. Bodybuilders have discipline. A certain weight to reach or a certain weight to bench press. What I know about discipline is that it isn't just an annual decision on the 1st of January. That it isn't just one big decision. That isn't discipline. Discipline isn't necessarily in the big decisions that we make. In fact, it's in all the small ones that we make every single day. We may care enough about health or whatever it is that we care about on the 1st of January, but discipline really shows up on the 8th of January, on the 15th, in February, March, April. From a physical standpoint, when we're tired, when we come home from work, we know we need to do some exercise, but we always find that reason, oh, I'm a little bit unwell. Oh, I've had a really long day at work. Oh, I don't have enough time today. Oh, it's raining outside. The first excuse to excuse ourselves is what we have on a physical standpoint. But it requires discipline to make those choices. To order just about the right amount of food at a restaurant. Not too much, not too little. To have discipline to not take that chocolate cupcake upstairs. So what happens now is, because my wife keeps reminding me of my physical state, we had dinner really early because of Reuben, so about 5:30. So we get really hungry by the time we're about 9 or 10. So what happens then is, usually you take Doritos and ice cream and everything, take it up into the bed and watch a show and just, God. But now I grab an apple and I run for my life. It doesn't help because she still gets the Doritos and does all these things. So I'm sitting here eating my apple and she's like, this is not good. But then she is also disciplined enough to then spend 2 hours on the cross trainer. So it's discipline. It looks the same for everyone. But how disciplined are we in those small decisions? In those small decisions. You've noticed now that physical discipline is the same as spiritual discipline. How we exercise our discipline in food is the same with how we exercise our discipline in our spiritual diet. We all know that place where we come home tired from school or work. We just come home from a party. And like, oh, I need to read the Bible. Or in the morning when we wake up, you know you need to wake up now because you wanted to spend some time with God last night. But oh, I'm just a little bit tired. Even when it comes down to our smartphones, I've experienced that actually it requires so much discipline to drag my finger in the morning to not press the Facebook app to being the first thing. To go, I want it. I need to press the Bible app instead. And it's like, Bible app. We all know that. And we indulge in that. Facebook, Instagram, this one. And afterwards, and then you can brush your teeth and do all the other stuff. And then it's, oh, maybe I should read some Bible now. Discipline in those small things. How spiritually disciplined are we in those small things? Again, why do we lack this discipline? We know these are good things. We know eating healthy is good, just like we know reading the Bible and spending time with God is good. But why don't we do it? Again, I think it's that lack of urgency. I think it's that forgetfulness. When you forget that end goal or when you forget those targets, you start to lose sight of the things that you wanted in the first place. We only see the things right in front of us, which is maybe the bad weather or the tiredness or the fatigue. So we only see those things, we only feel those things, and we lose sight of where we wanted to go, and that's when we lose that battle of discipline for that day. Remember, discipline starts again the next day. It's a choice every single day. We also lose discipline, I think, because of accountability. We live in an age where everyone respects each other's privacy. Oh, I don't know what he's going for, just let him be, let him do his thing. Or this person, if she wants to talk to me, she can. We lose that accountability where we really care for our brothers and sisters. Hey, how are you doing? What's stopping you from really glorifying God? Asking each other these questions, accountability. Why do bodybuilders go to the gym together? Why do we go to the gym together? It's because having that accountability helps. Having that support helps. We, as a collective, can be more spiritually healthy if we root for each other as well. Spiritually, we lose discipline when we forget to set our sights on eternity. Paul is very harsh here in Philippians. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Paul talks here about living with that eye on eternity, because if we don't, our end is destruction. I never thought I'd see the word belly in the Bible, but their God is their belly. What do we set our sights on? What do we worship with our lives? Do we set our sights on earthly things or eternal things? Because if it's earthly things, we need to snap ourselves out of it. We need to snap ourselves out of it and remind ourselves that we are citizens of heaven. We are awaiting the Lord Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the waiting room right now. We stay disciplined in that waiting room. Paul gets very tough with these people, I think. I think that he's pretty harsh with what he says. These people that appease their own appetites, their end is destruction. These people, these terrible people who believe in their own greatness, who think how great they are about themselves. People who are concerned with earthly, trivial things. These terrible, terrible people. These terrible people who are too consumed with work and too busy to worship. These terrible, terrible people who are more busy with preparing for parties and too busy for prayer these terrible, terrible people. I say that jokingly, right? Because we are those people. We are those people whose God is in our belly. We are those people who don't really dedicate our lives to him. We are too busy for parties instead of prayer. We are too busy for work instead of worship. We are those people. But instead, we must set our minds on knowing Christ and waiting for him. Because our current state is a lowly body. But when he comes and when he returns, they'll be transformed into a glorious body. Our bodies are flawed right now. They are flawed. However much we think they are perfect, or maybe we are very aware of the issues of our body. Maybe it is sickness. Maybe it is health that we can't control. Our bodies are rampant with disease, cancer, the tumors, illnesses. We can't control that. What are we to do about these things? I'm aware we go into a very entirely different topic here if we go too far. But what do we do about these things? Yes, we trust that God can heal. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we were at the church retreat, and I went to Yang Bong's workshop on healing, and it was great. It was really interesting. But one thing I took from that was I admired his humility, because he was just talking about, you know, how he prays for people, and sometimes God heals them, and it's amazing. But then for the people that God doesn't heal, he was asked, you know, what about those people? And he says, I don't know. God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours. His wisdom is higher than ours. He chooses what to heal. But all we can do on our side is to choose to live for him, even with the bodies that we are struggling with right now. Whether he heals us or not is a greater plan. Our job is simply to recognize that we are not complete. That spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, we are not fully healthy. That we will never be fully healthy here in this world. Theologians call this a state of total depravity, where we simply won't achieve that complete health in all fronts here on this planet. But in that humility, we cry to God and we say, God, even though our bodies waste away, just like that song earlier, even though our bodies may be dying, we glorify you because we'll always be alive with you. Paul talks in Romans, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Paul appeals to the church in Rome to present their bodies as a sacrifice, that our physical worship is deeply connected with our spiritual worship. That physical discipline is deeply connected with our spiritual discipline. We're called to present our bodies, our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strength as sacrifice, as worship. And again, what stops us from doing this? The same thing, forgetfulness, that lack of urgency, that lack of discipline. We forget about eternity because we're so consumed with ourselves, in what we see in front of us. If we truly knew that we're not on our own, if we truly believe that Jesus is coming back, if we truly knew that his spirit lives inside us, we would act and live accordingly. But we forget. We lose that urgency. We forget about keeping our eyes on him, and we turn and face ourselves and look in the mirror all the time. It's no surprise we forget, because this society tells us to constantly focus on ourselves. Look after yourself. Look after number one. Prioritize yourself. Promote yourself. Everything is about us. Francis Chan and his wife gave a sermon recently together, and I thought it was really interesting because they were talking about this society full of narcissism, full of self-centeredness. We're always told, look after yourself. The other people do not matter. Focus first on yourself. But they pointed out, interestingly, is whilst the society tells us to do that, to constantly focus on ourselves, this same society is the one that is rampant with mental and emotional issues. So maybe there is something wrong with that. Now, in this day of Facebook and Instagram and all these ways, we just take selfies all the time, focusing on ourselves. If we were that good at looking after ourselves and focusing on ourselves, why are we not any happier? In fact, why are people getting more and more into depression, into insecurities, even though they're encouraged to look at themselves and work on themselves? The thing is, anything that we focus on with our minds, anything that we worship that isn't God, corrupts our view. God tells us to keep our eyes on him because he is the only thing that we can look at without corrupting ourselves. He's the only thing we can focus on and worship, and he's the only thing that won't corrupt, but he will complete. That's why he tells us to keep our eyes on him. That's why he tells us to worship him. Because when we worship him and we give him that adoration, that is when we are fully complete and not corrupt. Because the truth is, we'll never be fully healthy in this world. We can only do the best that we can right now. Our bodies are dying, but soon we'll be transformed. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And this is where I'm just about to finish. That whilst you may have these issues, either with discipline, either with physical health, or with spiritual discipline, or with spiritual health, take heart. Do not lose heart, for though our outer self is wasting away, in comparison to what we're going to receive in eternity, they are only a light, momentary affliction because we are being renewed day by day. Now, I'm not here to make light of your situations. Whether, you know, sometimes, you know, you guys are going through some really tough things, really bad health issues, serious suffering. I'm not here to make light of them and say they're nothing. That's not the point here, but I just want to encourage you that whatever you are going through, whatever illness or state that you aren't happy with, that you are going through, I just want to encourage you that God is there beside you. That God is there beside you, and he knows what you're going through. And I want to encourage you to try with all your strength, with all your heart and mind, to turn your eyes to him. Not because he wants you to keep looking at him, not because he's self-obsessed, but he knows that he doesn't corrupt, he simply completes. And if you've been spending so much time looking at yourself, he says, child, that is what is causing the problem. And I pray that whatever suffering that you do have, God does deem fit to remove for the sole purpose that you can then worship and give your life to him freely. Just ponder for a moment. Take those afflictions that you have right now and compare them with what we will have in eternity. That eternal weight of glory. Do not lose heart. Take heart. A couple of weeks ago, it was my 30th birthday. And my brother, who's working in Zambia right now, sent me a card from Apple Photos. And he made a card and he chose two pictures of us. This is me and him when we were young. I can't tell you what really happened there because I'm older than him, so if he was the guilty party, then I'm a wimp for crying. And if I was the guilty party, I was bullying a younger baby and still ended up crying, so I'm still a wimp. So I can't really tell you what was happening around there. He always likes to show that picture. Whatever it was, he's a punk. Over here, it was a couple years later, well, many more years later, when I was 17, with him when he was 13, and my dad. It was shortly after this picture that my dad passed away, actually. So this is the last picture that my brother and I had with my dad. He actually passed away on Joe's 14th birthday. And I saw this picture and I loved it. I was like, wow, you know, this is a really special picture to me, to my heart. But then, you know what? I looked at this picture and I realized everything fades away. Everything disappears. Yeah, we look at this picture from here to here, and if Joe and I were to stand next to each other and take a picture again, we'd look different. I'd have much less hair. His belly would be a little bit bigger, as would mine. The skin would be a little bit rougher. Everything fades away. Even those things that we hold the most dear to us, they fade away. They fade away. When Christina saw this picture, she noticed two things. The first was she noticed how beautiful the garden was. It's quite hard to see, but if you've been to our garden, it looks really nice right now. You can see the stones in the back were still very white. The grass was new. It was all good. The slabs were all nice before my brother decided to trample it with football boots and basketballs and any kind of sport that we could play. So if you went back now, it would look completely different. So not only is it my dad who's gone, not only is it my hair that's gone, or my brother who's somewhere else, everything fades away. The other thing she noticed was, hey, your dad was 40 here. How come he still had hair? And he's like, oh, and his belly's not that big. Why is your belly big? And I was like, he was sucking it in. Like, all men know. He knows that he was sucking it in. As do I when I tell people to take photos of me. But you know what? Whatever we hold the most dearest here, on this world, it's temporary. However beautiful, however sentimental it is, it's temporary. And I'm not here just to kind of dampen the mood. What I am here to say that there is something that is permanent. There is something that is eternal. You know, after this picture, I observed, actually, the newest cars, Tesla, whatever, the newest cars, the newest buildings, the newest technology, they all pass and fade away. But only one thing remains. How in tune with that one thing are you? How disciplined are you at reminding yourself about that one thing that will always remain? In fact, I realize the only thing that doesn't quite waste away and rust and fade or die is nature. And when we look at how beautiful some parts of this world are, like the parts that man doesn't touch, like they're beautiful. It's like living in a tent. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know what we have now is simply like a tent. Our lives that we've built around us, the bodies that we have, they are just simply tents, that they will buckle, they will waste away. But when it gets destroyed, we have a building from God, built by God himself, eternal in the heavens. Let's invest in more than just physical health. Let's invest in more than physical wealth and in the things that we put around our lives. But let's look to that eternal, glorified body that we will have, where there will be no sickness and no pain. How do we know all this will happen? How do we know and how are we sure that we will transform our lowly bodies into these glorified bodies? There is only one answer, and that is Jesus. We can have that assurance that we will transform these lowly bodies that we have, these bodies that are full of sickness and pain and mental issues and emotional issues, because one day Jesus is going to transform us just like he did with himself. When he came to die on the cross and rose again 3 days later, he appeared to many people with this glorified body, a spiritual body, which was like the earthly one, but better. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that our present bodies are perishable. They are prone to decay. But our resurrection body will be transformed. A spiritual body that doesn't have nature as its limits will no longer be weak and will no longer be sick. But we will have bodies that are fit to live eternally with God. How sure are you of that fact? That one day you are going to swap these garments, these torn garments, these dirty garments, for one that is pure and white and clean and complete. Garments that are fit to live eternally with God. How sure are you of that fact? Because if you are sure of that fact, that will impact the way you live. It will impact the way you discipline yourself. Our job is to put hope and faith and our lifestyles and our actions in the power of the cross. Knowing that whatever situation we're in, whatever state we're in, Jesus is enough. The power of the cross, that power that resurrected him from the dead, is the same power that lives in us. Let's be excited that even though we are sinners right now, but it is while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. It is up to us to develop those fruits of the Spirit, to let those fruits grow, to grow in love, peace, joy, and to grow in self-control. to be disciplined with our lives, not just to believe it and then leave it, but to live in a way that our beliefs infiltrate our every single decision that we make. Let's be disciples that are full of discipline, making the right choices. So let's invest more in health, and let's also invest in more than health. Our bodies might be dying, but we will always be alive. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the eternal glory that we seek, and it is eternity with you that we set our eyes on. We thank you for being such a wonderful creator, making us in such wonderful ways. Lord, we belong to you. Our bodies belong to you. Our souls belong to you. And forgive us when we live as though we still belong to ourselves. Forgive us when we buy into the lie that we should just focus on ourselves. Lord, because we look to you, you are the only one that completes. Everything else that we look to corrupts us. But you see, you came to this world to give us life, life to the full, that we may live abundantly. In health, both in a physical sense and a spiritual sense, because they're all linked together. So may discipline infiltrate every single part of our lives, in the way we think, in the way we feel, in the way we act, and in the way we pray. And finally, Lord, we look to you with that hope and with that joy, that the tragedies that we have, that the sufferings that we have in this world, whether ourselves or whether we see on the news, they are all nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory that exists with you. We thank you, Jesus. So as we sing now, I just encourage you to maybe just spend a time of reflection, to retune your lives back to, or our lives, back to where we need to focus on the things that really matter, and on how, and just ask the Spirit, how do we live more disciplined lives for you? Pass it back to the worship team.